If all that we have here is just a name, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Calvary Chapel, if that's all that we have, we're in trouble, because no label can save you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in as we begin a new week. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Sardis, the Dead Church, as the study of Revelation continues. Now, Pastor.
At the Vatican on Thursday, that was a week ago, it says, and he was making the first, listen carefully, making it the first time a reigning British monarch has attended a service since the English Reformation 500 years ago. They were seated on golden thrones between Michelangelo's famous Last Judgment fresco in the Sistine Chapel. King Charles and Queen Camilla participated in an ecumenical service that featured both Roman Catholic and the Church of England, or Anglican, elements. Now, the Reverend Kyle Paisley, a pastor of the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland, suggested that the king should abdicate for meeting with the Pope, which he claimed violates his oath to uphold the true profession of the gospel and the Protestant Reformed religion. The king's meeting with the Pope comes amid simmering tensions with the Anglican Communion, which was rocked earlier this month by the announcement that Mahaly would become the first female Archbishop of Canterbury who has openly affirmed abortion and homosexuality, prompted some of the Anglican Communion to claim that the Church of England has been given over to apostasy. That is apostasy, loved one. But see, that's everywhere. We have to have the true Word of God. We don't change the Word of God to suit culture. Amen? The Word of God is the Word of God. So what does Jesus say in verse 4? He says to the church, he says, listen, you have a few names, even, I like that, even in Sardis. This is a wicked city, loved one. He said, there's a remnant of true Christians. There are just a few. And look what they have not done, who have not defiled their garments. So that means the majority in the church had defiled their garments, okay? And they shall walk with me in white. Now, white, of course, speaks of purity, but it actually speaks of Christ's righteousness, which is imputed to the believer. Isaiah speaks of how we are clothed in the righteousness of the Messiah. Amen? And he says, for they are worthy. What a word. Well, you know, if you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you have to be worthy. Amen? But the word worthy, remember from Ephesians 4:1, when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, when he begged them, he said, listen, he says that you walk worthy. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Well, our calling is a heavenly calling, amen? And the only way you can walk worthy, remember the word worthy there, is a picture of a set of weights. And so you'll walk a balanced Christian life. So if you have 5 pounds and 5 pounds, you're balanced, amen? So that means you must be equal in doctrine and equal in practice. You hear the Word of God, you do the Word of God, then you're balanced. If you don't, you're an unbalanced Christian, amen? And that's how you walk worthy before the Lord. So God always has a remnant, doesn't he? He always has a remnant. And listen to me now, there were great men and women who came out of the Catholic Church, who were Catholic priests. Calvin, Luther, and they. I know that they loved the Lord, but I want you to listen to me now. If you're not a student of church history, this is very, very important. Yes, the Great Reformation, thank God, it spread all over the world. It spread all over Europe. And yes, man, they turned it upside down for Jesus. But you know, something else happened too that spread all over the world and all over Europe. And it was the worst thing, I believe, that ever came out of the Great Reformation period. And you know who did it? Martin Luther. Martin Luther wrote a treatise 2 years before his death. And in 1543, he published it. And it's infamous. Let me give you the name of it. You can read it. You can find it online. It's called On the Jews and Their Lies. And it's heartbreaking, and no one wants to talk about it. And I understand why, especially the Lutheran Church. But, you know, the truth of the matter is Luther, even Calvin, but Luther was anti-Semitic. He hated the Jews. There's no way around it. And he was responsible for many around the world leading them in the same type of thinking and hatred of the Jews. What, you know, troubles me is that, for number one, Martin Luther said that no one should even study the book of Revelation, okay? He says it's worthless to do so. But what I don't understand is how Luther, who was a scholar, man, he translated the Bible into his own language, German. He knew the Word of God. And what I don't understand is his hatred toward the Jews when he loved the book of Romans. He's the one that said the just shall live by faith, amen? And so why did he not look at Romans 9, Romans 10, and Romans 11? Because it's all about the Jews and that God has not forsaken them. God has made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, amen? Listen, God has not done away with Israel. Listen, they have an everlasting covenant. Paul the Apostle says in verse 25 of Romans 11, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Now, Martin Luther read that. He read that. Okay, don't be ignorant of this mystery. A mystery, it means a God's mystery, that the only way you would know it is now God's going to reveal it to you. Amen? Okay, he says, "Brethren, don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part," not total blindness, "blindness in part has happened to Israel," and then it goes, "until," there's a time limit, "until," there's a time limit, "until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, and so all of Israel be saved as it is written." Now, love one, listen. At the second coming, who's Jesus coming for? He's coming. We're going with him to set up the kingdom. He's coming to save Israel, isn't he? Yes. And why Martin Luther didn't see that, I just don't know. But this treatise that he wrote is horrible. And I just want to read a few parts of it. I don't have time to read a lot of it. You can read it online. And just let me just a few. Luther writes in the treatise, and he says this, "What shall we Christians do with this rejected and condemn people, the Jews?" He says, "I will give you my sincere advice. First, I want you to set fire to their synagogues, their schools, bury, cover with dirt whatever will not burn, so that no man will ever again see a stone or cinder of them. This is to be done to honor our Lord Jesus and Christendom." He says, "Also, I advise you that their houses be razed and destroyed. I advise you that their prayer books and all of their writings, which is idolatry, lies, and cursing, that be taken from them. I also advise you that safe conduct on the highways be abolished completely for the Jews, for they have no business in the countryside. I advise you that usury be prohibited to them, and that all cash and treasure of silver gold, that you take it from them and put it aside for safekeeping." Later, if you kept reading, he would call the Jews rogues and venomous Jews and so forth. This was one of Adolf Hitler's famous readings. And Hitler followed his advice. Did you know that? Let me continue reading. "This book by Luther was widely popular among Nazi supporters and seen at all of the Nazi rallies, and the prevailing scholarly consensus is that it has contributed to and justifying the Holocaust. Since then, this book has been denounced by many Lutheran churches." Now, his treatise, the one I was just reading part of, you know, influenced generations to hate the Jews. And do you know what? It is still used today to brainwash people. You follow me? It's sad. You know, God has not forsaken his people. Jerusalem, that's a time clock for us. Did you know that? You better believe it. Now, so as Jesus closes out the letter, he's going to give us four things that's going to be given to the overcomer. Let's look at it. He says in verse 5, and just look at the first three words. Jesus says, he who overcomes. Now, let's just stop right there. There is only one way for a Christian to be an overcomer. Let me read it to you. 1 John 5:4. For whoever or whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's it. You don't need anything else. You just need to be born again. That's the only qualification. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, if there is no faith, loved one, then you cannot have the victory. Amen? Romans 1:17. Luther loved this one. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5, it goes on, says, who is he who overcomes the world? Now, he's just appealing again. It's not repetition, but appealing to the fact. Who is he who's overcome the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So every Christian has overcome the world because Jesus overcome the world for us. Amen? Sin, death, hell, he's done it all. And listen, that needs to be alive in our hearts. And then it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Now that's the imputed righteousness of Christ that the believer receives when he confesses Jesus as Lord. That perfect spotless record given into your account that when God sees you, he sees you in Christ's perfect righteousness. He says, you have that? He says, I will not blot your name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Is that a wonderful promise? Yes. Now listen carefully. Jesus did not say, loved one, that anyone's name in Sardis has been blotted out. I don't know where people get that. Jesus didn't say that at all. And he is not saying in any way that a true believer, a true born-again believer can ever lose their salvation. Now listen carefully. You want to write this one down. Verse 5 is not a warning. Let me say it again. Verse 5 is not a warning. It is a promise from Jesus Christ. Amen? Now listen, in the Greek, it's a double negative, which means it's emphatic. Let me read it this way. Jesus says, I will not, no, I will not ever erase your name from the book of life. It's a promise. Now, only a believer is an overcomer. Amen? Romans chapter 8 begins with no condemnation to the believer. Amen? And then it ends with no separation of the believer. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we will be like him. Okay? The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, as Jesus is now, amen, so are we in the world. Right this moment. So are we. We're just like the Lord in this world, loved one. Now listen, those that are clothed in white garments is imputed righteousness. Our names will never, ever be blotted out. You know, listen, did Jesus pay the sin debt for all mankind? Yes, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen? Okay, Hebrews what? 2:9, did Jesus taste death for every person? Yes. Okay, now with all that being said, since Jesus paid the sin debt of the world, all a person has to do is receive it. Receive what Jesus has done. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But it has to be received. Now, some people teach that the book of life contains the names of every person that has ever been born. But during that person's life, if they reject Christ, then their name is blotted out. I don't personally hold that view, okay? I believe that here what the scripture is saying is that when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and we believe it in our heart, amen? Then our names are placed in the book. Now, and then what does Jesus do? Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, Jesus, I love you, come into be, save me. Then he says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. We know that the Antichrist. The whole world's going to go after him. Amen. The church is already in heaven. It says in Revelation 13, 8, it says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, the unbelievers, whose names have not been written. They could be written, but they have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if a person has not confessed with their mouth, Jesus be my Lord, and believed in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and truly believe that, then the person's name is not in the book of life. So it says in Revelation 20:15, anyone not found written in the book of life. It has to be written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is finally, that is hell. That's Gehenna. That's eternal separation from God forever and ever. But listen to me now. How secure are true believers? Those who really love the Lord, that are born from above. Did you know their names is written in heaven? It says in Hebrews 12:23 that our names are registered in heaven. Amen? Oh, listen. How about in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verse 20. Remember Jesus sent the 70 out to lay hands on the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead and so forth. And boy, they came back rejoicing. Oh, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And remember what Jesus said in Luke 10, 20? He said, nevertheless, guys, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let me give you Kenneth Wiest. He is a Greek scholar. His translation of that verse. He says this, the Greek verb is in the perfect tense, which means it can be translated like this. Your names have been written in heaven and are on permanent record up there. Permanent record up there. I don't believe that Jesus can ever, ever break a promise to you. Jesus said in John 10, 27, he said this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have a relationship with them. They're mine. And they follow me. And he goes on and he says, and I give them eternal life. And here comes, listen to this promise. It's in the emphatic. They shall never, no, never, no, never. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus closes out and he says in verse 6, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. That means in every generation. So what is the Holy Spirit saying here? He's saying this, and we need to listen. He says, if all that we have, now we're talking to us, if all that we have here is just a name, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Calvary Chapel. If that's all that we have, we're in trouble. Because no name of a building, no label can save you. Amen? I mean, it doesn't work that way. Those names will never save anybody. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen? So, loved one, listen, only one name can get your name in the book of life. That's it. Only one name. And that name is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Acts, what, 4:12. There's not another name given under heaven, under man, that, by which he must be saved. Only the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And did you know, really and truly, as we finish up this, the fifth letters, with only two more left, there are only two kinds of people on earth, really. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Amen? Okay, so that means this. You are either dead or you are alive. Oh, that's all it is. That's just the way it is. So every person on this planet who is outside of Christ, no matter how good they are, no matter how honest they are, if you are outside of Christ, you know what? You are dead. That's just the truth. You're dead. And you're not ill. You're not dying. You are nekros, meaning you are out dead. Why? Because every person outside of Christ is spiritually dead to God. They don't think they're dead, but they are dead. And they go through all of the activities of life, but they only have physical life. They don't have any spiritual life from God. Why? Because dead people have to be born again. Amen? See, the scripture says this in Ephesians 2:1. It says, and you he made alive, who were dead, nekros, dead in trespasses and sins. That means we didn't know it before we were born again, but we were totally dead to God, but boy, were we alive to sin. Amen? That's what it means, because we were dead in trespasses and sins. But you know what? Only God can make us alive. Only Jesus can make us alive. So maybe you're here. Listen, if you're thinking that a church can save you, a name of a church, you're in a lot of trouble. If you think church membership can save you, it can't save you. You can put your name on every church register in America. That doesn't save you. Do you understand? No, you have to be made alive. See, Jesus said something. He said in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means you don't have life unless you have Jesus. Amen? But the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone be in, that's an important word, in Christ Jesus, baptized into Christ, not water, spiritually, new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Why? Because you're walking in a newness of life. You know, maybe you're here, I don't know, and you don't know Jesus. I mean, you don't really, you're dead. You're living a dead life, but you say you're a Christian. That's what was happening at Sardis. You call yourself Christian, but you don't pray. You call yourself Christian, you don't study the Bible. I'm not condemning you. I love you. I don't want to be dead. Listen, if you don't hear Jesus calling you right now, he's calling you. If you don't know him, he's calling you. You can hear his voice if you want to, and you can come home and say, I'm going to be born again. I'm going to be a new creation. If you refuse that voice now, do you know you will hear that voice one day? Let me give you the scripture. Jesus said in John 5:28, oh, don't marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, if a person is in the grave, are they dead? Okay. That all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. If you don't hear it now and come to him, you will hear it then. And he says, and it shall come forth. They who have done good unto the resurrection of life, meaning those who, yes, Jesus is their Lord when they died, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, meaning they're not going to make it. So every person, listen, every person that has ever been born is going to be resurrected in the last days. Did you know that? Meaning, when we get to Revelation 20, you'll see it. Those in Hades, those in the sea, their bodies, they will come up, their spirits will come up, and then they will be in their resurrected bodies, but not new bodies, their old bodies. And they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, and the books are going to be opened. And that great white throne judgment is only for the unbelievers, not the believer. So if you don't know the Lord, as our heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, and every Christian pray, listen, you can come to Christ right now. Maybe you feel in your heart, Bill, I do have a name that I'm dead, but I say I'm alive, but I'm not. Why don't you come to Christ right now and ask him to come into your heart and make you alive again, or alive for the first time? If that's you, quickly, just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. Just say, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. That's right. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I know that a church can't save me, but Jesus can. If that's you, I see the hand. God bless you, sister. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me this morning. I'm getting ready to pray. Last call, if that's you. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I heard your word. I believe it's true. So right now, I no longer want to be dead in sin. In trespasses, I want to be made alive in Christ. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. Jesus save me. I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would ask Christ to be my Lord, you would save me. I believe. Jesus be my Lord. And I'm saved. In Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with another message from his Revelation series, and we'll look for you once again. We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.